Treishir is Masechta Cheres Tavov, and we will begin on Daf Hey of the Beis, four lines from the bottom of Rav Yehuda. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah that the halacha is that if somebody, if a kosher animal has a child that doesn't look like it, there is no chiyah b'chayah. If it's somewhat similar, then there is a chiyah b'chayah. But the Gemara had quoted a machlokes tanoim as to what is the basis for this halacha. Our Mishnah said the basis for this halacha is because the Torah used the words petach hamor twice to teach us only if the child and its mother look the same, is there a chiyav b'chayr. The other explanation the Gemara had given was because the Torah uses the words ach b'chor shah, b'chor kesa, b'chor eis to teach us that the mother and the child have to look the same. So now ask the Gemara. Rav Yosef HaGlili, who had learned the halacha that we just quoted, based on the pasuk of b'chor shah, b'chor kesa, b'chor eis, ask the Gemara, the fact that the Torah says petach hamor twice, Rav Yosef HaGlili, hai petach hamor, petach hamor, which our Mishnah used as the basis for this halacha, my overlay, what will he learn from the fact that the Torah says petach hamor twice? Answers the Gemara Boi Lechem Tanya. Rav Yosef HaGlili Oymer, b'tashinama ach pod of tifte, es b'chor ha'odom, v'es b'chor ha'behema ha'temeya tifte, shemei ani, if I only had that pasuk, I would think that I feel a pitri susa v'gemalim, that even all non-kosher animals have this obligation of, have this kedusha on the firstborn male, tamalaymer petach hamor. That's what the Torah says, petach hamor ma'ati l'cha, that this halacha only applies by petach hamor, so like pitre susim v'gemalim, but not by other animals. V'adayin ani oimer, but if I only had this pasuk, I would perhaps say, petri chamor b'saya, petri chamor could be redeemed with a seh, petri chamor v'gemalim, all other animals could be redeemed the cholah dover. So not that the Torah is coming to limit that this halacha only applies by petach hamor, but to distinguish that petach hamor could only be redeemed with a sheep, and all other animals need to have, could be redeemed with any other type of animal as well. Tam loimer. That's what the Torah says, petach hamor, petach hamor shnei pomim. That's what the Torah says, the word petach hamor twice. Petri chamorim amati loch, that this halach only applies by petach hamor, the loy petri susim gemalim, not by any other non-kosher animal. Paruch Rav Achai. So asks Rav Achai. And in fact, the Mefarshim point out that this language of Paruch Rav Achai is sort of a unique wording that some Mefarshim suggest that Rav Achai wasn't even a Amora, he's one of the Rabbanan Goyim, and that's why the Gemara uses this wording. Others say he was an Amora, and every Amora had his own way of expressing himself. Paruch Rav Achai, Ikos Rachmana Chad, if the Torah would have just said the word petach hamor only once, havamina, we would understand, davar shahayi b'klal, that the petach hamor is in the category of all non-kosher animal, v'yotzim naklal alamit, and it was singled out, lo alamit al atzma yotzo, wasn't only to teach a rule that applies to it alone, al alamit al klal kula yotzo, it's coming to teach us regarding all non-kosher animals, and the pasuk would be teaching us, we would say that all non-kosher animals have to be redeemed with a seh. Kas rachmana petach hamor achrona, petri chamorim, that only by a petach hamor is there such a halacha, like petri susim gemalim, but not by any other non-kosher animal. Now, since the Torah said petach hamor twice for this requirement, the ema, perhaps, may tinim a seh, all the Torah means to do is exclude it from pidyon with a seh, with la'olam b'kol davar, but it still requires a redemption just with any other type of animal as well. Answers the Gemara, in Cain, if that were a halacha, that the Torah is not coming to exclude all non-kosher animals, in lech rachmana petach hamor tifta b'seh, the first pasuk should say petach hamor, the chamor tifta b'seh. Why does the Torah have to say the word peter twice? Petach hamor tifta b'seh, tifta b'chamor, petach b'seh lomali. To teach us, petri chamorim amarati loch, only by petach hamor is there such a halacha, like petri sus v'gmalim, not anywhere else. So from here we see that the halacha petach hamor only applies by a donkey, no other animal. So now I ask the Gemara, if the pasuk or the mentioning of petach hamor twice is needed to teach us that this din applies only by donkeys and not by any other animals, so Tan Didon, our Tana, who says that the fact that the Torah says petach hamor twice is the basis for the halacha, that if the child doesn't look like its mother, there's no din of petach hamor or bechor, lemuti sus v'gemal menolei, how will he know that other non-kosher animals don't have this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa. He learns it in the following way. The Torah, Hagdoshah, says, kopetach hamor, kopetach rechem li. B'chol miknecha d'zokor, petach shor v'seh, petach hamor tifte v'seh. So he explains as follows, says Rapapa. Kom mincha tizokar is a klal. Shavas seva chamo is a prat. Klal a prat, we know. Ein b'chlal amasha b'frat. We say that the prat comes to define the klal. Shavas seva chamo in. The halacha of b'chayra only applies by a shah and a sen a chamor. Midachrin aloy. Not by any other animal. So ask the Gemara, Rav Yosef Galili, why does he need petach hamor mentioned twice to teach us that the din of b'chayr doesn't apply to other non-kosher animals? Why can't he learn it the same way our Tana just learned it? Answers the Gemara, Rav Yosef Galili, petach hifsek inyan. If the Torah would have said petach shor b'seh chamor, Rav Yosef Galili would say you're indeed correct. Here the Torah puts the word petach between the word chamor and the word shor v'seh, and that's why chamor is not included in the klal of prat. Rabbanan, how do Rabbanan defend themselves? Vav hada arvikra. The vav of petach hamor connects it to the shor v'seh that I mentioned right before. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili to Rabbanan, lo lichtav lo vav lo petach. The Torah should not have written the word petach and not need the vav to connect it. So the fact remains, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili to Rabbanan, that the peter separates chamor from shor v'seh. Say to Rabbanan, to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the Torah had to specifically mention it this way, because either the ha-kedushas are done or the ha-kedushas are gof. As we mentioned in the previous shir, the kedusha of peter chamor and the kedusha of the regular b'char, of a kosher animal, is a different type of kedusha. Petach hamor is only kedushas tamim. Peter, the other one is kedushas aguf. So the Torah could not mention them in one category. Pasuk, the Torah had to categorize them separately. Then v'hada arvlu, then the Torah said the letter vav to reconnect them to learn this klal prat. So we've learned that the halacha is that an animal born to a mother that doesn't look like it, there's no din of b'chayra. If it's somewhat similar, there is some level of kedushas b'chayra. Ask the Gemara, the Bailu. So they ask a series of questions. Parash yodim in chamor. A cow has a donkey. The yeshba mitzvah simana, but the donkey has some similarity to its mother. Mahu. What will be the halacha regarding b'chayra? And the Gemara explains itself. Eish yodim in rochel. Rochel shiodim in aiz. When a goat has a sheep or a sheep has a goat, the kiyesh by mitzvah simonim, that the halach is that the child looks similar to its mother, chayevus b'b'chayra. And of course, when we say chayevus b'b'chayra, it doesn't mean that it has the din of b'chayra that's put on the mizbeach. When we say chayevus b'b'chayra, it means that it must be treated with a level of kedusha, it's given to the kohen, It's also begiza va'avoida. So why is that the halacha? Da'atayra v'ha'atayra. Both of them are kosher animals. Ha'kedushas ha'guf, ha'kedushas ha'guf. And the type of b'chayra we're talking about is the kedushas ha'guf b'chayra of a kosher animal. Ha'cha. But in the case of a cow having a donkey, da'atamei v'ha'atayra. The mother is a kosher, looks is a kosher animal, and the child looks like a non-kosher animal. And ha'kedushas ha'guf. The kedusha on the mother is a kedushas ha'guf type of kedusha. And on a chamar, it's kedushas damin. Loi, there will not be any halacha of b'chayra. Oidoma, or perhaps we can argue, kiven the idi v'idi midish b'chayra. But both types of animals that are in the category of b'chayra, cows in b'chayra, a donkey has hilchas b'chayra, kaddish, it will too have hilchas b'chayra. Vintum tzolayma, continues the Gemara. And therefore, if we will suggest, kiven the idi v'idi midish, the b'chayra kaddish, they both have relevance to hilchas b'chayra, and that's why hilchas b'chayra will apply here. What will be the halacha? Asked the Gemara. Chamor shiyo b'min tzus mahu. The mother is a donkey, and the child looks like a horse. Do we say hacha vaday lav migdash b'chayra hu? Certainly here hilchas b'chayra will not apply because the mother is the child looks like a horse. Aydilma. They have this common denominator that they both are a min tamei. That should be enough to make it kadosh, that it should have the hilchas b'chayra apply. And as the Briskerov explains, even though it's a horse, but since they have such a strong common denominator that they're both non-kosher animals, that should connect them that hilchas b'chayra ought to apply. And continues the Gemara. Im tinslam kim de mintamehu kaddish. Since they both have this common denominator, that they're both non-kosher species, that's why hilchas b'chayra will apply. Ask the Gemara. Parash yod min sus mahu. What would be if a cow has a child that looks like a horse? Hachavadi, can we certainly argue here that ha tahira, the mother is a kosher, looks like is a kosher animal. Ha, the child looks like a non-kosher animal. Furthermore, Ha'bas mitzvah b'chayra. The mother looks like an animal that has hilchas b'chayra. V'ha, la'bas mitzvah b'chayra. The child looks like a like an animal that doesn't have hilchas b'chayra. Aydilma, or perhaps simana milsehi. The fact that these two animals look similar to each other, so have some similarity, should be enough that there should be hilchas b'chayra. These are the three questions that are posed. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following braisa. It says in the braisa, behemoth ha'ira shogunin, behemoth ha'meya, a kosher animal had a non-kosher animal, the halacha is, p'turim and b'chayra. There's no hilchas b'chayra. But in yesh v'slik v'samonim, if there is some resemblance, chayev's b'chayra. My love, now isn't this speaking even to the case of parash yogunin sus? So as the Rishonim explained, certainly the first question that has been posed about a parash yoda min chamor has been answered in this braisa. Because the braisa clearly says that a kosher animal that has a child that resembles a non-kosher animal certainly is chayv b'chayra. But the Gemara's question now is, has only the first of our series of questions been answered? Or perhaps even the last question about parash yoda min sus has also been answered, says Merloy. The only question that's been answered is the case of parash yoda min chamor. Why? Because in this case, they're both in the category of animals that have hilchas b'chayra. But when it'll be a parash yoda min sus, that we don't know what will be the halacha. So the Gemara attempts another item. Toshma, parash yoda min chamor. If a par has an animal that looks like a chamor, or chamor shiyoda min sus, p'turim and b'chayim. Im yetsh by mikdash simon, but if they have a resemblance to each other, the halacha is chayevs b'chayim. My love, now isn't this speaking about tavayu, both cases that were mentioned? Both, and therefore, in the case of a chamor shiyoda min sus, which was the second question, if there's resemblance, there'll be a chiyuv b'chayru. So it's more loy. All the Bryce is referring to when it says that if there's resemblance, there's a chiyuv b'chayru, is referring to a situation of parash yodim in chamar. Ask the Gemara. Aval, according to this understanding, the case of chamar shiyodim in sus, my paneloy, why has the Bryce mentioned it? Leftura, to teach us that there isn't a chiyuv b'chayru in that case. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Bryce is coming to teach us, pshita, hashta, umar parash yodim in chamar. In the case when a par has a chamar, they're both animals that have a chiyuv b'chayru. Amrit, in yeshiva mitzvah siman in v'loy loy. If they have resemblance, yes, and if not, not. Chamar shiyodim in sus migoyer. Does it have to teach us that in a case that a donkey that had a horse, which who is in a species that's not mechuyev b'chayra, doesn't have hichlus b'chayra? So to teach us the halacha that if a donkey had a horse, there is no chiyev b'chayra, that's obvious if there's no resemblance. It must be, Raisa is coming to teach us, that if there is resemblance, there is a chiyuv b'chayru. Says the Gemara, no. There is a special reason to tell us the halacha of this halacha. To teach us that it's not chiyuv in b'chayru. Because if the halacha in the Raisa would have only spoken about a cow that has a donkey, Sakadatach, we would think, Hasam Hudi Yeshlo Kanayim V'Hol Eino Kanayim, they're very different. The cow has horns, and the donkey doesn't have horns. Harpasa says Sadukais, the cow has split hooves. Harpasa says Kutus, this doesn't have split hooves. Avu Hacha, but in this case, by a donkey and a horse, both have no horns. They both don't have split hoofs. I would say that this is a red donkey, and therefore it should be mechuyev in b'chayra. In other words, as the Rishonim explained, typically horses are reddish, donkeys are black. So even though this offspring has this reddish look, it doesn't make it a horse. And therefore, it should be mechuyev and b'chayra. Kamashulam, that's why it has to teach us that it's considered a horse, and therefore, it's not mechuyev and b'chayra. But that's the chiddush. The chiddush is not to tell us that it is mechuyev and b'chayra. So the only question that's been answered is that a cow that had a donkey, if it looks like its mother, if it resembles its mother somewhat, that's the only question that we know would be chuyuv and b'chayru. The Mishnah spoke about a case about a mother and its child not looking the same. And the Mishnah wanted to know, mayin v'chila, what is the halacha regarding eating? The Mishnah said, we look at the mother. If the mother is a kosher animal, the offspring may be eaten. And if the mother is not a kosher animal, it may not be. So ask the Gemara, and the Mishnah summarized its words, its psak, with the word shayotim and atame, tame, shayotim and atar, tame. So ask the Gemara, lomim lomim listi shayotim. And there's a machlokes how to understand the Gemara's question, which actually has relevance for halacha lemaisa. But before we go into that, just to mention in the previous piece of Gemara, the Rishonim say, since we have all these questions left open, the halacha is that we have to be machmer and treat it with some level of kedushas b'chayra. On the other hand, we don't have to give this offspring to the kohen. There is a machlokes Rishonim, if a kohen will seize the animal, what will be the halacha? some Rishonim say that since the owner has a chazaka on it, it can't be taken away. And some Rishonim say that if the kohen takes it away, he could keep it. In fact, how do we understand that opinion? If the kohen can't prove, based on the Gemara that we just finished learning, that halachically it belongs to him, why is the din that if he takes it, he could keep it? So first, I'll explain two reasons why here tfisa may be acceptable. One explanation is because there's really no chazaka. The child had just been born. So really, the kohen, the Yisrael owning this animal, really doesn't have a chazaka on it. Another pshat that they say is, because since we just finished saying that everybody is in agreement that the there has to be treated with some level of kedusha, since it has to be treated with some level of kedusha, that's why the halacha is that if the kohen seizes it, some rishonim hold he can keep it. So back to what we're learning, the Mishnah says, "Yotze ben tamei tamei, yotze ben tar tamei." Ask the Gemara, "Lomli lemisni shayot." What does the Mishnah have to say this shayotze? So as I was about to say, is machlokes rishonim how to understand what is the Gemara's question? Taisus seems to learn that the Gemara's question is that why does the Mishnah have to say over what it is ready taught us? The Mishnah already taught us that the halacha is that we look at the mother. But other Rishonim explain, other Mefarshim explain that the question is a much deeper question. Because if we read the words of the Mishnah simply, the Mishnah seems to be teaching us that the status of the child is completely determined by looking at its mother. But that isn't true, because many Mefarshim are of the opinion that the status is not determined by looking at the mother, but the way the status is determined is by the child itself. Just that the halacha is, how do we know, the halacha is that what is the status of the child, what factors are taken into consideration in determining the status of the child. The factors that are taken into determination of the status of the child are who is its mother. But it's not to be understood that it depends on who the mother is to know the status of the child. And what really we're trying to say here is an answer to a very important question that we discussed already in Masechta Chulin. We know that the Torah, when it identifies kosher animals, gives various simonims, with hooves, chewing its cud. And when we learned those sugyas, we asked the question that many Mefarshim pose: is that to be understood as a simon, or is it to be understood as a siba? Are these signs that the Torah Kedoshah speaks about just a simon of what is a kosher bird, or is that what a kosher animal, or is that what makes an animal kosher or not kosher? According to the simple understanding of our Mishnah now, it's not a siba. It's not what makes the animal kosher or not. Because our Mishnah is clearly teaching us that we have certain animals that don't have these signs, and yet they're treated kosher. That's the Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah. So our Mishnah is teaching us a huge chiddush, that the signs that we always speak about in the Torah are not what make an animal kosher or not. And therefore, now the Gemara continues to ask, then why did the Mishnah have to repeat itself? According to the other understanding, the question on the Mishnah is much deeper. Because actually they hold that it is the simonim that make the animal kosher or not kosher. And therefore, the status of the child is independent of its mother. But the halacha is, there's a new halacha. That as far as eating is concerned, it may be eaten if its mother was kosher. If that's the case, then the Mishnah's wording is very misleading, as the Gemara. Because the Mishnah seems to teach us that if the mother is kosher, it will be kosher. That isn't true. It will not just be kosher because its mother is kosher. It only may be eaten because its mother may be eaten. Says the Gemara, simanu hudu atachaflo. The Mishnah just trying to teach us this wording so we shouldn't make a mistake. The light time is little bastard today. Don't say we should look at the animal that's on question itself. V'hai tar ma'alyuhu, this animal looks like a kosher animal. V'hai tar ma'alyuhu, this animal looks like a non-kosher animal. El zil bas ime, it tells us to look at the mother. So again, with the machlokes that we just explained. According to the Mefarshim saying that the Mishnah is teaching us that the mother is the determining factor, the Mishnah is trying to teach us that very halacha, that the mother is what creates the kashrus. According to the other pshat, the Mishnah is trying to teach us that don't make the mistake that it's the mother that's going to determine if it's kosher or not. The mother will not make that determination. The animal is kosher or not kosher based on what it is. We're only speaking about eating. Ask the Gemara anonymously. But now how do we know indeed that this is the halacha? If the mother's kosher, it may be eaten. If the mother's not kosher, it may not be eaten. The answer is mother turn rabbi. The pasuk says, the Torah is teaching us, you could have an animal that has all the simonim of a kosher animal, the atoichla and you still may not eat it. What would that be? If a animal with kosher simonim was born from a non-kosher animal, it may not be eaten. Or perhaps what the pasuk is teaching us is tamei hanoilim natar, that a non-kosher animal that was born from a kosher animal may not be eaten. Or may, and how are we to understand the pasuk when mimala ager mafrisa parso hachkama dava ba mimala ager mafrisa parso, even though it has a mother that's kosher lo techel and may not be eaten. Tamaloimer gomel tamehu, the Torah says the word gomel tamei hu tamei vein tamei hanoyim natar tamei, only it is tamei, but not a kosher, not a non-kosher animal born from a kosher animal is not kosher el tar, it's rather it's kosher. Rav Shimon however disagrees. The Torah says gomel gomel shnei pamim, the Torah says the word gomel twice. Ech gomel hanoyim natar, to teach us whether the camel was born from mother roots of camel. Vech gomel hanoyim natar, it may not be eaten. Machlokes Rishonim, if Rav Shimon's view is limited strictly to camels, or does he say his halacha regarding all offspring that look like a non-kosher animal and may not be eaten? Rabbanim, ask the Gemara, hi gomel gomel my atalei, what do they use the word gomel gomel to teach us? Chad la'eser atzmoy, that the donkey may not be eaten. Chad la'eser chalovoy, that he may not eat the milk of a gomel. Rav Shimon, lesser chova menolei, how do we know you may not drink the milk of a non-kosher animal? And here we should say that even though there's a question, and how do I understand Rav Shimon's opinion, that Rav Shimon says opinion strictly by a camel, by all animals, this piece of Gemara is certainly talking about all non-kosher animals, and we're learning now, Rav Shimon his way, Rabbanan their way, that the milk of all non-kosher animals may not be eaten. So how does Rav Shimon know that halacha? Nachgalei mi es hagomel, from the word es. Rabbanim, what about the Rabbanim? Why can't they learn this halacha from the word es? Rabbanim es loy darshi, they don't learn the word es. Ketanya, Shimon amsoni hoy darsh kol es es in the Torah. Shimon amsoni was learning every es in the Torah. Kimin shegiel es Hashem lekecha tira. When he came to the word Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, Pirush, he stopped because he didn't know how to learn Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. Omer Talmidov, so his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, call Esen Shadarash the Mata Eileim. What about all the Esen that you learned till now? Now that you stopped learning Esen, what are you going to do with all of those Esen? Omer, Shem Shekabal Tischar Al Adrisha, just like I have Schar for explaining all the Esen that I learned till now, so too I will get schar for not learning Esim anymore. Achbar Kiva Velime, Atar Kiva Toras, Es Hashem El Kecha Tira, the rabbis Talmid of Chachamim, it comes to include Talmid of Chachamim that have to have respect. Many Divrei Torah was said on this piece of Gemara. The Mashal explains that the machlokes between Rav Shimon and Shimon Amsoni and Rav Kiva was what represents a greater recognition of Kvod Shemayim. Is Kvod Shemayim reached by explaining it? Es Hashem Lekecha L'Rabbis Tamidei Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, held that Rav Shimon Ben Sani said no, that detracts from Kvod Shemayim if we have to show respect to Tamidei Chachamim as well. Whereas Rabbi Akiva held, on the contrary, it brings Kvod Shemayim that we respect Tamidei Chachamim as well, and that's why he learned Es Hashem Lekecha Tira to include Tamidei Chachamim as well. Furthermore, Mefarshim asks, Mashar asks, that he, why was Rav Shimon Gamliel only troubled with the pasuk of Es Hashem Lekecha Tira? What about the pasuk that appears before that in the Torah of Ahavta Es Hashem Lekecha? So Mashar answers that it was only bothersome to Shimon Amsoni to say that we have to fear Tamidei Chachamim the same way we fear Hashem. But to love Tamidei Chachamim the same way we love Hashem, that wasn't something that bothered Shimon Amsoni. So that, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, he certainly learned to include Tamidei Chachamim. It's the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira which caused him concern. And what was the concern? Because he held that it will take away from fear of Hashem, and Rekiva hold that that is part of Kvod Shemayim, showing fear for Tamidei Chachamim. The Mar v'Shemesh says a beautiful vort. Famous Gemara in the Masechta Brachos. The Gemara in the Masechta Brachos says, the pasuk says, "V'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Shoyel Mimach Ki Im Liras Hashem Lekecha." All Hashem asks of us is to fear Him. Ask the Gemara, "Otam Yira Milsa Zutrusahi," is fearing Hashem such a small thing that the Torah says that's all we ask of you? So the Gemara says, "In V'gav Moshe Milsa Zutrusahi." For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira Shemayim was not a great thing. So all the Mefarshim asked, we haven't answered the question. By Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira Shemayim is not considered a very significant. But what does that have to do with us? Explains the Mar v'Shemesh. What the Gemara means to say is, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira Shemayim came easy. So all the people that lived with Moshe Rabbeinu, seeing Moshe Rabbeinu, were also easily able to come to Yira Shemayim. But, said Shimon Amsoni, that's only in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have such Tamidei Chachamim that could bring us up to the level of Yira Shemayim. Said Rabbi Achbar Rekiva, came Rabbi Kiva and said, we have a Shimon Amsoni. And if we look at Shimon Amsoni, we'll see what Yira Shemayim is. And from Shimon Amsoni, we can learn to our own lives what Yira Shemayim is, learning from Shimon Amsoni's behavior, how he acted. Because what was so great about Shimon Amsoni? As the Mefarshim all explained, here we have an individual that the Gemara says his entire life he spent trying to understand every S in the Torah. That's what he spent his entire life doing. And he comes to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he gets stuck. So he doesn't try to defend the S, and doesn't try to say pshat of the S, even though the pshat that Rabbi Akiva suggested is a very obvious pshat. He'd rather walk away from everything that he's learned and said until now, rather than do what he thinks is wrong. From what does that emanate? That emanates from a tremendous level of Yira Shemayim. Only somebody who has great Yira Shemayim acts this way. Says Rabbi Akiva, when we see a person with such great Yira Shemayim that he could give up a lifetime of work just because he knows that's what he thinks is the right thing to do, that's what brings us to Yira Shemayim. There are other Mefarshim that explain that Rabbi Akiva and Shimon Amsoni came to this situation because they were in different types of people and had different life experiences. Shimon Amsoni was a Talmid Chacham and lived amongst Talmidei Chachamim his whole life. So to him, the need to teach us that you have to fear Talmidei Chachamim, there was no need for the Torah to teach it to us. It's obvious. Rabbi Akiva, we all remember, Rabbi Akiva said that the first 40 years of Rabbi Akiva's life, he never learned Torah. And he said, Me'yitin li Talmid Chacham v'anashchenu kachamor. Rabbi Akiva knew that not everybody respects Talmid Chachamim. And that's why Rav Akiva said, of course the Torah has to teach us that Talmid Chachamim need Derech Eretz. Another pshat is that Shimon Amsoni was concerned that if we'll say this drasha, the one has to show fear to Talmid Chachamim, people will say that he's just concerned about his own honor. Rav Akiva, on the other hand, who was a very wealthy person, wasn't concerned that that's what people will accuse him of, and that's why he had no problem saying this to Russia. Another pshat that I saw, nice pshat, is Achbar Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva, the Shimon HaMsani was going to in fact say this to Russia. Rav Shimon HaMsani was the local Rav of his community, and he knew that sometimes a message offered by the local Rav is not the message that will be well accepted. You need an outsider, a foreigner, to say the drasha, that it should come through. And that's what happened. Shimon HaMsani was Pirish. He said, I have this message to say about Talmid Chachamim, but I know that the people in my community won't accept it from me. Achbar Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva, sometimes you can hear it from an outsider better than you can hear it from somebody who lives amongst you. Another pshat, the Kotzka says, a shas of pshat, the rabbis Talmid Chachamim, that the Rav Akiva was teaching us, that not only do regular people we know have Yiras Shemayim, but even a Talmud Chacham has to work to be a Yiras Shemayim. Ramey Shapiro says a very beautiful pshat. He says, Shimon HaMsoni and Rav Akiva actually had a very fundamental machloikis. Shimon HaMsoni learned, Kim Shigil as Hashem Elokecha Tira, Shimon HaMsoni was of the belief that when a person comes to a high level of Yiras Shemayim, Piresh, he should separate himself from the rest of the world. He should now spend his time just learning and being Isaac and Avodas Hashem. Achar Bar Rav Akiva, Atar Rav Akiva came and said, L'rabbis Talmid Chachamim, that just because somebody is a Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that he should separate himself from the world. On the contrary, a Talmud Chacham also must be engaged with the rest of the world trying to spread the word of Hashem. There's a beautiful mashal from the Dubna Magid how to explain the opinion of Rav Akiva. He says there was once a blind person who was going to cross the border and had to have a passport. And he had an attendant with him as he was crossing the border. And the attendant did not have his own passport. So they came to the border, and the blind person shows his passport, and they say, fine, you could go through, but where is your attendant's passport? So the blind person said to him, if you see that I received the passport, you could certainly understand that my attendant also has permission, because they know that I can't go anywhere myself. So too, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said Rav Akiva, expects us to have Yiras Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we can't come to Yiras Shemayim unless we have the Talmid Chachamim who help us attain that level of Yiras Shemayim. And one final vort. The Pasuk says that when Rivka was pregnant, Yisroit Tzu HaBodem Bekirba, she, unknowing that she was carrying twins, had a real problem, as Rashi says. When she walked by the base medrash, Yaakov Mepharkas lost it, the child wanted to come out. When she walked by the base Avodah Zarah, the child wanted to come out. Not knowing that she was carrying twins, she came to thinking that you could worship Avodah Zarah and also serve Hashem. And therefore her question was, in Cain, Lomazeh Anoichi, how do we understand the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which says that we can't worship anybody but Hashem alone? The Teilech Lidrash, and that's what caused her to ask the same question that Shimon HaMsoni had, Es Hashem, is there somebody else along with Hashem? And the course answered her that there are no two gods, there's only one God, but you're carrying two children with two different tendencies. Omer of Akiv Rei de Rava, the Ravashi, El Ma'ata, Tam de Rabbonim, the reason that you're saying that you may not eat the milk of a non-kosher animal is because the Torah says Gomel Gomel twice. Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon knows it because the Torah says the word Es HaGomel. Halach Haki, if the Torah wouldn't say those words, Havim Minachol de Tehei Mitzmei Shorim. We would indeed believe that the milk of a non-kosher animal may be drunk. Ask the Gemara, my Shno, my Tanya, but why is this any different from what the Torah teaches us regarding the Shrotzim, where the Torah says, Hatmeim, Leset Tzirom, they were not allowed to have the brine, or to say the fish fat, right from the gravy, the kipishlem, the sediment of that's in the pot and that cooked it. Why shouldn't the milk of a non-kosher animal be included in that? It's the answer to the Gemara. Sakadat Kamina, we would think, Hoyal the Behemoth Torah Nami Chidishu, the fact that we could drink milk of a kosher animal is a Chidish. Domamar, Dam Neker Vanessa Cholov. How is milk formed? Because milk is blood that turns into milk. And blood we know we may not consume. The key in the Chiddushu, yet the Torah teaches us, as we'll soon see, that we may drink the milk of a kosher animal. Behemet mei and nami lishtri. The halacha should be that so is the halacha by a non-kosher animal as well. Kamashmon, that only the milk of a kosher animal we could drink, not the milk of a non-kosher animal. So here it says, dem nekar v'nasa cholov. The Farshim point out that even if the milk changes, why is it different, the dam shebishloi, that we learned in Masech Tachum, that blood is cooked with the rice its mutter. So the Farshim answer, dam shebishloi is something that we did. Dam nekar, the blood changes into milk, is not done through human intervention, and therefore it's not in the category of dam shebishloi. Furthermore, the Ma'ariv Yehuda says that dam nekar is not the blood of nida only, it's because by an animal there's no nida blood. It's the blood in the system of the animal that nasa cholov, that becomes milk. Of course, here in Mefarshim similarly have a question that if we take something that's not kosher and we chemically change it, does it become kosher? And isn't the concept of dam nekar of a nasa cholov a raya that perhaps it would be? They say it's different because, as I just said, dam nasa cholov is not because of human intervention. Perhaps when it's done because of human intervention, we don't say that we could, that it may be drunk. In fact, now we understand, explained in Mefarshim, why the minig is to eat on Shavuos milchigs, dairy foods. Because from here we see that it's a chiddush that milk could be drank, and it only became that chiddush on, that chiddush was given to us when the Torah was given to us. So since they enjoyed that chiddush, that halacha is, that's why they began drinking milk. Continues the Gemara. Hanich l'mad omer dam nek v'nasa cholov. So according to the mad omer, that's indeed the way milk is formed, we can understand it. El mad omer ivarem sparkim humana. The reason a woman doesn't have blood when she is nursing is because she's weak. So this, as we're going to learn in the Masechta Nida, is a machlokes, why a woman for the first kufa after having a baby doesn't have dam. So according to this, there's nothing special about milk. It doesn't originate from blood. So why would I think it's asr? It's sagadat kamina. How you have a to asr michai b'shari rechmanah. Milk comes from a living thing. V'hai cholov ke'evim rechaihu. So milk should be considered like evim rechai, and evim rechai is asr. Hilkuk, I feel behemoth to me of the street, yet we find that the Torah says it's mutter, k'mashmah. So here too is machlaikis, why milk would be asr if not for the pasuk. Postra in the Gemara is because it comes from evim rechai. Others say because it comes from an animal that wasn't slaughtered. An animal that wasn't slaughtered is asr to be eaten. There would be a very big nafkamina between these two pshatim. Because if the problem with milk is that it's evim rechai, and the Torah is telling us that even though it's evim rechai may be drunk, So the Torah is only speaking to Jews. Goyim are also Eivim and Achai, and they don't have a heifer for milk. But if we say that the problem is that it's coming from a non-slaughtered animal, a non-slaughtered animal is only a problem for Yisrael, not for Akram. Ask them, now that we've established that there is a question about how we're allowed to eat kosher milk, milk from a kosher animal. The chel of the behemoth are known, sorry, how do we know indeed that it's mutter? If we're going to say, because since we find the Torah says that bas becholov, only meat and milk together also, halachodei shari, which seems to indicate the meat alone and milk alone is mutter, vema, maybe what the Torah means to say is, cholov adei, milk alone is also bachilu mutter bahano. Bas becholov, bahano nami also, but not to say that cholov is mutter to be eaten or drank. Rav Shimon asked the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, the Shar Bahano, who says the Bas Becholov is Mutter Bahano, so that's not what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. But Shkachaslay, the Torah is teaching us from Milk Yabashula, that we get Malkus for cooking meat and milk together. But it doesn't say the milk could be eaten alone. Ella, Midigal Rahmana Pasulim Abdashim. Since the Torah says by animals that were a carbon and then became disqualified, that the walk is tizba for like Gizel, we may not use its wool. Boss of like Cholof, it seems to indicate how the chulin, that the milk of non-Kaddish animal, shari, is mutter. So the more again, the chulin, osba chilu, shari, ba'no. But the Torah is teaching us the milk of regular animals can be eaten and it can't be eaten, but you can have benefit. Kachin, ba'no, nami osser. But we still don't have a raya that Cholof may be eaten. Element of siv. The day cholov izin lachmcha lelechem beisecha v'chaim lenarasecha. The milk will give you panosa for your household, for everyone. Again, ask the Gemara. The demoloschar all means is you can do business with it. Ella medikziv asaseres charitzei hacholov. The pasuk says that Yishai gave David milk to take to the battlefield to his brothers who were in the battle with the Pelishtim. Again, asked the Gemara, Dimel Schayra. He gave it to them to sell, but not that they could drink it. Asked the Gemara, Artu Dakish of Muhammad Schayra. Do you sell food to your enemy? Elamai, it's a raya. This is a raya. The milk could be eaten. Yibay said, Mahaka, Erev Zav is called Dvash. Vila of the story, Shtavach one created the Midah Lechazim. The Torah praises that Yisrael is the Erev Zav is called Dvash. And if it's Eretz Yisrael is called Dvash and you can't even eat Cholov, that's not something that the Torah would use to praise Eretz Yisrael with. People are saying, Mahaka, V'chu shivr v'chu, v'shir chur v'lo kesa, v'lo mefiyayim v'cholov, go buy and eat, go buy wine and milk, without money, without price. The Torah is saying that there will be a tremendous shafa in the world, and it says we'll buy milk. El me'ata, ask the mother, what's saying? The Torah says, gomo gomo, twice, is coming to teach us that if the chard looks like a camel, it's not allowed to be eaten. Rabbanit said to teach us that you could drink that you may not drink the milk of a camel. So then the Torah repeats other animals as well. The Torah says shofen shofen twice, anevis anevis twice, chaza chaza twice, lahani hudasa. What are you coming to teach us? El katanya, lom nishnu v'hema. Why did the Torah say the mention the kosher and non-kosher animals and the yikra and repeat them in the varim neshesua to teach us the halacha of a shesua? It's an animal that has two backs and two spines that isn't mentioned in the yikra and mentioned in the varim, or the oifus from neira that's mentioned in the varim and not the yikra. Gom gom nam lahakudasa. It's only there because of the two new animals, but not to teach us alimut. Answers the gemara. We don't usually say that the Torah adds and repeats something for no reason, that it's only there because of the other mention that is a chiddush, unless we have no other good explanation. Now that the Gemara, both according to Rabbanan and Shimon, have come up with a good explanation for why it's repeated, that's certainly the reason it's repeated, to teach us either that the milk of a non-kosher animal may not be eaten, or to teach us, according to Shimon, that a camel born from a kosher animal is non-kosher.